Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of life. Thank you for this time that we live in, and thank you for the abundance which we have. In Jesus' name and amen. A couple of days ago, I was visiting friends. I helped out in their garden. Mostly, I did the hand watering of their vegetables. And then I got to eat the vegetables, which tasted like the vegetables I remember from years ago. And that is different from the store-bought vegetables of today. Today, those vegetables have the right color and the right shape, but you need something like onions or butter or garlic to make them tasty. Over the years, life has changed a little bit here and a little bit there. So, when I was watering, I thought about all that, and how in the olden days everybody used to farm just to live. I thought about how we would water, or they would water, in the olden days, or even long ago, like in ancient Egypt or ancient Mesopotamia. Everyone had to live near a river, like the Nile River or the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, because water was needed to live. Of course, to drink water, but certainly to water the crops, to irrigate the fields, and to water those young trees. Well, civilizations developed, and they got to have water gravity flow, and water even to be piped from place to place. The Roman Empire was very notable at the water that they piped or aqueducted from place to place. They did an amazing job, and even they had sometimes cold water, naturally cold, and naturally hot water brought to some cities, and that was through their miles of aqueduct. They had an engineering and a technology developed so that their water systems were just amazing. And that's where we get many of our ideas today, based on what the Roman culture did. Today, we are so blessed to just turn on a faucet and have water come out. We can drink the water. We can water our garden with it. And how blessed we are to live in this time. We are blessed, and it is good to count your blessings, to appreciate all that you have that is good. Yes, look more at your blessings than at your problems. I know often enough I talk about the problems that we could face, and that is because in life I have seen problems, both for me and for other people. That has just been how life has gone. And that's why I think about preparedness. So those troubles that would hit a person just don't hit so hard. That's why I talk about that there would be big problems that just might come into our life. And if you can see it too, then you can take preparedness steps. And then it would be easier for you to get through troubled times. And don't forget that ultimate preparedness part, which is to have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus as you live eternally in heaven and not that other place. So, we faithfully follow Jesus Christ. I know that reading the Bible helps to know and to follow Jesus Christ. Well, let's look back a little bit in time. Let's go back a couple hundred years, 200 years or 2,000 years. At that time, almost everyone was a farmer. Every family had to grow their own vegetables, their own food, and every family had to preserve their own food. Manufactured items were scarce, and they were rare. And they were relatively expensive. those times were different. 200 years and more years ago, just so much was different. English money, because we were a colony of England 200 and some years ago, but money was hard to get, and metal was not exactly common. And every metal had its own value, and so each coin had its own value. Coins from every country were used in America because the value of a coin was based on the amount of whatever metal the coin was made of. Sometimes the pennies were smaller or larger than our own 1 cent. But the copper in the coin had value. Some were the size of a quarter and some were the size of a dollar. And merchants got to know what the metals were and what the purity of each coin was. And so based on its weight and its purity, the value of a coin was established, and it was pretty well known. I can only imagine what a merchant from 200 years ago would say about our United States coins today. You see, every United States coin is mostly made of zinc, and so its metal has no intrinsic value. And neither does our paper money. It's a challenging concept to grasp because we have all learned all of our life that dollars are valuable, and they have been. We have been taught that the whole world wants our United States dollars, and that we should save our United States dollars in a bank. Well, it was true, and it's less true today because we have inflation, and inflation has been increasing and increasing, and those statements are not true the way they used to be. And as an example of our money, how it is inflated and losing its value, well, just a few days ago, I had a conversation with a man and a woman who remembered about 40 years ago when they were just out of high school and their paycheck stub, they remembered it, and it said that they were earning about $1.65 per hour. $1.65 per hour. And you know, at the end of each month, they had bought what they needed with that income. And it's an example of inflation. And how many economists these days are believing that we are on the edge of inflation hitting us again. And that would make us financially unstable. And it could also make jobs decrease even faster than they have been in the last few months, as the stores have been closing. It's been interesting to watch. I talk about these things because I see troubles coming, and I want you to be prepared. We have divisions going on in our nation, and certainly two big ones are the conservative faction and the liberal faction. There are even people who see that a conflict will develop. I don't see that we have to have any conflict, but I am aware that many other nations in history, in the recent history, have had conflicts when these two factions of a society are struggling, the conservative people and the liberal people. And as I've looked at history, I see that there is often a third small group that just might be an instigator to promote conflict or violence. That's the way it has been in other countries, and then that third small group often enough gains a certain amount of power, which influences everyone. It has brought changes in many recent nations, and it has been bringing things that are very difficult for a nation, like food shortages, like martial law, and sometimes a whole new government changes from one form to another. Yeah, do you remember the story about Benjamin Franklin after he left a meeting of the constitutional delegation, and a lady asked him, "Mr. Franklin, what form of government do we have?" And Benjamin Franklin answered, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." Yeah, so, and then a few years after this, Thomas Jefferson made this observation that if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in the state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. His statement continues, "If we are ever to guard against ignorance and remain free, it is the responsibility of every American to be informed." Yeah, that's the way I see it too. And of course, that is why I talk about the variety of subjects that I do. And sure, even a variety of unusual subjects, like our Constitution requires that our United States money would only be made of a precious metal. They call it specie, and that means silver or gold or nickel or copper. But the idea was never to have our money be made out of paper, which it is today. And I've talked about our founding fathers in the past, that they were Christians, strong Christian men in general. And I know that in recent years, the media has reported that certain well-known people don't consider our founding fathers to be Christians. But there's a lot of things that get reported that are true and are not true, and that we should be paying attention to. And that's why I sometimes go over news events. One of the things I talked about recently was all the people who have been committing, these are well-known people who have been committing suicide. And the news tell you that they commit suicide, but they don't tell you the rest of the story, that they hung themselves on a doorknob. Yeah, no matter what the coroner report says, it sounds impossible to me that a person could even do that. There's some things that just are beyond reason. I can't make sense of them. Another impossibility has been that an airplane flew into a skyscraper and went completely into the building in one piece without having its wings or its tail break off and fall to the street. No, that's that. If you look at airplane accidents or even bird strikes where a bird hits the airplane, you can see how impossible this is. Airplanes are so delicate they could not never go through a strong wall of a building. And then if you look at Building 7, which was 100 yards away from the Twin Towers in New York City, it collapsed without being hit by a plane. I've heard it said that only 40% of the United States population even knows that Building 7 collapsed, just like the two Trade Towers did, and people just don't know. All of those three buildings, they all fell down very close to what is called a free fall speed, which means if you drop something from a height and it hits the ground, these buildings hit the ground just a little bit later. Practically impossible to have a building collapse with very little resistance like that. So there's lots of things that go on all around. And this has been going on for the last 50 or 100 years right here in the United States of America. There have been many national situations that have been matched up with lies and deceit. It's just what's happened. And we don't know what's really going on, but we can identify that there are problems. And you know that by looking or by studying history. Lies and deceit have been going on for forever, really. And those suicides, they just don't make any sense at all. Why those people would even be inclined to end their life. They have so many good things in their life, but now they're dead. And their death has been ruled a suicide, strangely enough. And lately I've mentioned Major General Albert Stubblebine III, who had just retired from the military, and he was getting into a health supplement business. And then, not long after, he publicly stated that the New York Trade Towers could not have gone down the way the government reports said they did. Well, guess what? He committed suicide too. Yeah, and there's lots of people who have committed suicide. If you look at the Clinton Chronicles, you'll see many, many people who were associated with them have committed suicide, including the Attorney General Vince Foster, who at that time, well, he prided himself on having nice things. He was just a decent sort of a man, but he committed suicide with a revolver that was made up of many different revolvers, and that revolver only had 3 bullets in it instead of 6. Pretty odd, huh? And then if you look at the last 15 or so suicides that have happened in the, well, they've not been all suicides, but they were deaths that were associated with the Kennedy assassination. And it's just things that go on, and they don't make sense to a person who thinks about it. So I'm not trying to examine this all in detail. I'm just saying that we should be aware of what is going on around us. And we should stand up for God's righteousness, because God's righteousness has to be in this world strongly, and we are to put it there. There's other things, forces in this world, that bring evil into the world, and we don't want anything to do with that. So things just seem to happen, but it's the good and the righteous area that we want to stand up for. I think of Ezekiel chapter 8, where somehow an angel appeared to Ezekiel, and it takes him to Jerusalem. And it took him in the spirit to Jerusalem, to the house of God. And there he saw men who appeared to be priests or men of God, but they were really practicing abominations to God. There were 25 men there, and they were... Ezekiel recorded that they were worshiping in the temple in a way that was to a false god, not to the God of the Bible. And what did that mean? It means that there is deceit in the world. There is lies in the world. And even high up people both are misled and they live a lie. It has happened thousands of years ago, and it happens in our day. And we're to be aware of what goes on around us, and we are to live faithfully to God as righteously as we possibly can, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Our Bible gives us instructions and examples of living of people who have lived righteously and people who have made mistakes. Our history books also tell us about these stories. It's a good idea to read and to get familiar with Bible history and our the history of our civilization, including the United States. Most of the writings from our historical or founding documents illustrate that the men who were our founders were godly men who used biblical principles to live and to form our United States government. We can see from the writings of men like John Winthrop and Cotton Mather. He wrote this. He wrote, "We came to America to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy the liberties of the gospel thereof with purity and peace, and for the preserving and propagating the truth and liberties of the gospel." See, these founding men had godly principles. John Adams, who was one of the authors of the Constitution, wrote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." See? And another author of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, wrote, "We have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political constitutions upon the capabilities of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments." He said, political constitutions, that's the term he used, because at that time, each state had their own constitution, which governed that state at that time. Well, these were the ideas and the principles that were at the roots of the founding of our nation. A lot has changed between then and today. If you look at the last 50 years of our nation, there have been gigantic changes in our nation, and those changes attack our heritage. For instance, we saw Roe versus Wade, which in 1973 allowed legal abortions. And then in 1980, we saw the Supreme Court opinion which stated the Ten Commandments were not to be allowed in schools because it might be read and obeyed. Well, the opinion is a lot longer than that, and I shortened it up a lot, but it really does say just about what I said. And then there was 1992, where President George H.W. Bush said, "We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, and not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we succeed, and we will, we have a real chance at this new world order, a order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of its founders." Yeah, it says its founders, not our founders. Well, a lot was going on back in those years. And just about that same time, Henry Kissinger, who was the former Secretary of State and the National Security Advisor, said, quote, "The only thing standing in the way of a world government is a strong America." Yeah, wow. See, there are forces going on in our nation that we are pretty much unaware of. And if we're not watching out for them, they could come back around to us and make surprises. If you fast forward to 2016, President Obama made an executive order, number 13603. And that act authorizes the president to requisition property, force industry to expand production, impose wage and price controls, settle labor disputes, control credit and raw materials. So that's an executive order. It is still in effect. It has not been rescinded. And other presidents have, before President Obama, have made similar executive orders. And so far, we have not suddenly lost our freedoms. The order is there. It's just, when will such an opportunity be made to call those executive orders laws that must be obeyed? So we can see this, that executive order, 13603, is similar to executive orders that have been put into law in the past. It's not exactly unusual, but what I really think we should pay attention to is that this is the direction that things are headed in. And so we better be aware of it. We better be paying attention to the direction which things are going, because they have been going that way for decades. And we want to have a peaceful participation in our government process. That's the system that we want to support and be a part of, a peaceful participation. But it's obvious that there's so many different possibilities, and the possibilities could adversely affect our American way of life. All sorts of things could happen. Well, we could have natural disasters or man-made disasters. Lots of things are possible, one crisis or another, and there's another one that I think is headed this way, and that's if the United States dollar were to fail, or call it crash. There's a lot of problems associated with that one. We have the basics that are not good, which would be that our national income has not increased very much over the recent years. But every year, our national spending has increased a lot, and that is not sustainable. Our national debt keeps growing and growing. Right now, it is at $21 trillion. It's hard to grasp the immensity of $21 trillion. So, I like to use seconds to illustrate what kind of time elapses over 1 million seconds. It's 12 days. Over 1 billion seconds is 32 years. And 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So you can see the immensity of our national debt, $21 trillion. And it is borrowed in the name of the United States citizens. Yes, the government does the process, but it is borrowed in our names. So each one of us owes that debt, And just think of it in terms of having another house payment. Depending on where you're living, the house payments vary so greatly, but that would be the kind of a scale that it would be on. We can't live by having two house payments, but if we were to pay off our national debt, that's the kind of amount it would be. Borrowing on our national debt is kind of like borrowing the money today that our children and our grandchildren will have to pay back in coming years. That's the principle. That's what is at work here. It's not right and it's not fair. Our national debt has increased. In 2008, it was $10.6 trillion. And today, it's $21 trillion. Wow. During that same amount of time, 2008 to today, our money supply has increased by more than four times. There are more than four times as many dollars circulating around in our economy. And remember that the more of something you have, the less is each one's value. So, that paves the way for inflation. It surely shows me that financial problems are unavoidable, but to say when, it's a question that we really, really can't answer. It's just a puzzling question. And there's a question, maybe we should sell all the gold in Fort Knox. Our nation, it's mostly at Fort Knox, but nobody knows for sure, but our nation is supposed to have 10 tons of gold in Fort Knox or thereabouts. And if we were to sell all that gold, we could maybe get $366 billion for it. $366 billion. But our national debt at $21 trillion is 50 times. It's more than 50 times that amount. It's more than 50 times the amount of gold that we have as reserve. So we have to wonder, what should we do? And what is the answer to this problem? And I think the first answer is for each one of us to get out of debt, to get our own area financially stable, our own little area, our own family area. I think that just about every person in the United States struggles with debt, and somehow we have to try to eliminate our debt. It's not easy, but we can take steps towards it if we have that diligence to do it. We will want to eliminate our own debt, and to do that, we have to take active steps. It's not easy, but we have to start somewhere. We have to start today. If you want to listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio, that helps too. He has some really good ideas. Saving money is a correct principle, and savings can include cash. And there's also a few people who would consider other forms of savings, maybe in the form of food or supplies, tools or medical items, or seeds, maybe even a little bit of silver or even a little bit of gold coins on hand, which our U.S. Constitution says is our only legal form of money. Look at our U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. And it says the only thing we are supposed to be using for money is, they called it specie, but what it means is a precious or a semi-precious metal. And they were opposed to using paper currency. Paper currency was not allowed. It was tried a couple of times, but everything changed in 1913 when the Federal Reserve came into being. Now, the Federal Reserve happened because of what I consider to be a trick. A trick because Congress, they did vote to create the Federal Reserve, and that is, in effect, our nation's central bank. But in 1913, the circumstances of its creation were that most of Congress had left town for its Christmas break. And those few who remained passed that bill, and it became law. And so the Federal Reserve was allowed, it was created, and it was a privately owned central bank for the United States of America. Privately owned. It has no records to speak of that the public can see. And these days there are a lot of people who are considering that our financial system, our financial concerns, are really quite unstable. And we are warned by quite a few people that this is the case. I think of the retired Congressman Ron Paul, who for years was very involved with the financial state of our nation. And one of the things that he did was he was on the banking, Congressional Banking Committee for many years. Oh, and I'm thinking of another person who has concerns. That was the retired chairman of the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker. He was interviewed by Bloomberg, which is a business news channel, and he indicated that a recovery was just about impossible. Another person who is concerned is James Rickards. He is a financial author with very top-level business and government connections. And he has warned about a huge financial upheaval. And in his books, he says just plenty with statistics and situations that back up his statements. Well, these are all people who should know, and they can all see trouble coming. But as for the time frame, we just don't know. Will it be very soon? It could be. But they never say when. There's lots of people who have said when a crisis would come to our financial system. And, you know, they're always wrong. Very interesting. So things could stretch out for a while now, but a financial crisis is inevitable. Well, it sure looks like it. And a lot of people who should know are saying that it is inevitable. We face difficulties, and that's just life. It's a part of the life. And being a part of God's kingdom, sometimes those difficulties will draw us closer to God. And I have touched upon difficulties in the past. I've touched upon the electrical grid. Because if that goes down, I see we are in really, really big trouble. And there are real possibilities for why it might go down. The threats from terrorist attacks is one of the reasons. And there have been active threats that are our electrical grid would be targeted. There's also a question if there was a national attack that used an EMP device, which would basically short-circuit or burn most electrical wires in the country, both on devices and on power lines and power transformers. And it would take several nuclear weapons to do that, but it's something that could happen. Our electrical power grid is very vulnerable. And the third way that it could happen, easily happen, is if there was a coronal mass ejection from our sun, a CME. And while this may seem like a remote possibility, they have happened in the past. It's just that we didn't know it because it didn't knock out our electrical systems. But it did happen in 1858. And what happened then? Well, literally miles of telegraph lines and miles of fencing were melted because that coronal mass ejection directly hit the eastern part of the United States. So that was 1858-59. And another one happened in 1921. There was one that happened over the Atlantic Ocean, and that damaged the telegraph line that was under the ocean. It was under the Atlantic Ocean, and still it knocked that Atlantic telegraph line out. That's what coronal mass ejections do, and we have no idea of when they have happened historically, because we don't have long lengths of copper wire that would have gotten burned up. But we know that they do happen, and they have happened in other parts of the world as well. Some members of Congress are very concerned about it, and some members of Congress are very much not concerned about it. And they block attempts to protect our electrical grid from a coronal mass ejection. But Congress did hire Peter Pry, PhD, and he conducted investigations into our nation's electrical grid. He made a 2008 report, and it showed that we were very vulnerable to a coronal mass ejection, a CME, and his report indicated that these were really serious and potential risks. He said that if our grid were to go down, it could go down for 1 to 4 years. And if it did go down for a year or longer, half of our United States population could die. Now, his report really said up to 90% of our U.S. population. And most commentators who comment on that report, they say 90%. But really, his report said about half to 90%. But it's a really big number, any way you look at it. My opinion is sure it could happen, but I think that the Americans would be more resourceful than we are, or the report is expecting them to be. So I would use his lower number of more like 50% would die, but that is still terrifically a big number. And we should realize that these are the kind of problems we would be dealing with. If our electrical grid went down for 1 year. Anyway, it's good to look at these problems. It's good to see what kind of things could happen, because it is just a huge, huge problem if it were to occur. And probably it will not occur, but it's just like having house insurance or fire insurance. We do something for the just-in-case situation. That's what we do. We have some provision or just in case a really serious problem happens. And that's the way I think we should view the possibility of our electrical power grid going down. And it could be for a year or 4 years. It's possible. So all that means is we should get you could call it insurance, or you could call it preparations. And I just think of having those basic food preparations and the basic necessities of life. And that would include hand tools and things to be operated by hand, because electricity just might not work. So everybody has to examine this problem for themselves and determine what steps would be good for them to take, just in case such an event were to occur. Because it is just in case. We don't know it'll happen, but it might. Lots of things might happen, and it's good to look at history to see what kind of things we might want to prepare with. I always think of earthquakes and volcanoes, and the Gulf of Mexico is having a situation going on right now where the water is warming. Yeah, it's just a little bit by our census, but the thermometers say that its temperature is increasing, and that is always a question of why is it increasing. And the best guess is because of volcanic activity. After all, there are volcanoes going off in the world. So we have learned in history that we should be aware of volcanic activity. It's gone on all throughout human history and before. So just consider that in what you're planning for. I know in the continental United States, we forget about things that happened so long ago, but there was volcanic activity off the coast of the eastern seaboard, the southeastern states in the 1800s. 1856, there was activity off the coast of Florida, volcanic activity. In 1857, it was off the coast of Georgia. In 1874, it was off the coast of Northern Carolina. So I see volcanic activity as one of the potentials. And of course, here we are on the West Coast, and what do we see? We see earthquakes and volcanoes as real possibilities. And if you want to look a little further, look to Yellowstone and see the volcanism that is going on right there in that super volcano. So what do I say? I say, look at what kind of supplies you might want to have on hand for that just-in-case situation. What would you want to have? And sure, money is always a good thing to have. Because we could have any kind of a disaster, but if a financial disaster happens, we will want something other than the currency that we use. We will want something that has value. Everybody has to figure that out for themselves, but like I say, if you never look at what the problems are, you never examine them. You never know what to do. So just look and have some considerations for what the problems might be. That's what I talk about. I talk about what the problems might be because I hope to encourage your thinking to consider what you might want to do to be prepared and prepared for what. It's a question we really don't know, but we keep asking because we know that natural disasters continue to happen, and the Bible tells us that things will happen. Right now, in these years, life is going along relatively smoothly, and we just seem to forget about all the things that could possibly happen. That's just so human. Of course we do that. We don't think about the problems unless they are in front of us. And so what do? I tell you about the things that really could be problems. And it's problems partly because of the evil in the world and partly just because of the timing, God's timing, as with the approach of the end times. So I just want to remind everybody to think about what would happen if there were real significant problems that happened in our in our day-to-day world, in our day-to-day life? What would happen to people? So, yes, we go through life and we enjoy it. We celebrate this day. We celebrate this day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And that's so true. But we also look to the future in every way. We look to the future in ways that have to do with our spiritual salvation. And we look to our future in ways that there could be some physical difficulties coming along. So that's what I like to talk about, is why you should be prepared spiritually and physically, because surprises happen, and I know I've had plenty of them in my life. I've seen them, and I've had them happen to me, and that's why I talk about them. And don't forget to celebrate life along the way, because there's so many good blessings in life, and like I just, there's that song, "Let us be glad and rejoice in those good things." Yes, also recognize the time we live in. Consider that the Bible tells us that what the days will be like before Jesus returns. So we know it's going to happen. It's written about in Matthew chapter 24, in Mark chapter 13, and in Luke chapter 21. All these places talk about what will the conditions be like before the return of Jesus Christ. And it says that there will be famine, earthquakes, and wars. Famine, earthquakes, and wars are coming. So, are you going to get prepared at all? There's some things you can do for famine. Maybe not so much earthquakes or wars, but famine, it's so obvious. What do? You get some food to eat. And I'll talk about that in a minute, but it's the food that lasts. And I think of grains, but there's other options as well. So take your steps. Make a plan. And then take those steps. Everyone can get a little bit of something. There's white rice and sugar and salt and a few gallons of water. Well, if that's all you do, that is still a start. And everyone has to start someplace. It doesn't mean you have to get 255-gallon drums full of whatever it is you're going to put in them. But, oh, I do like 55-gallon drums, and I think they're a really good idea to put things in, including one or two for water. But the point is here, do something and take a few steps. It always starts someplace. You take a few steps, and if you have already taken those few steps, then you are prepared to take a few more. Think about what kind of things you would want to have set aside. And that means, of course, it means the food things, the water things, a water filter. And, well, there's just things everybody needs, so think about it. One of the situations I like to just imagine is if I was going camping for a month or two, what would I need? Well, for a month or two, you would have some food that would not spoil, and it would last a long time. And of course, I think of grains. I think of grains because they seem to last just about forever when they're whole. But then you also need a manual grain grinder. And if you have wheat, you can have wheatgrass juice. So you would also want a manual wheatgrass juicer. Then they're not so expensive. I think they're $40. But there's the basic food things that you need. And like I said, grains is where I start with, whether it's wheat or rice or any other grain. And then sugar, salt, and oil. Those are the essentials to food. You can have spices right along with that, and you can have what you need to cook it with. Like I said, if you were going on a camping trip for a month or two, what would you need? That's just a good place to start for thinking about it. You would need a propane stove and extra propane. How about a big cast iron pot? How about utensils? About vitamins and a water filter? Yeah, all those things. Warm clothes and extra outdoor clothing, not to mention boots. All those things you would need. Matches, a knife sharpener, flashlights, and batteries. All those things, but you have to figure out what your ideas orient to, because, well, that's what preparedness is about. You do things that you see and that you want. So give it some thought, and if you would like one of my preparedness brochures, you can send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I will send you one. Oh, and if you want to listen to past broadcasts, they are available if you go to www.christtoday.org, and you can listen to past broadcasts. I know I did some preparedness broadcasts on January 21st, January 28th, and February 11th of 2017. They were ideas. So all these things are ideas, but you get to figure out which ones make sense to you. So you can listen to past broadcasts, or you can just get a book and develop your own ideas. That's really probably the best thing to do. But you have to start someplace, and that's what I want to encourage you to do. Start. Get a few things together. It's a really, really good idea. And then once you start, you discover even more the things you need and the things that you want. So give that some thought. Thank you very much for listening, and you can listen to the past broadcasts at that www.christtoday.org. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.